listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, April 3rd. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Oh, good evening, Michael. As always, I'm glad to be here.
So glad to have you, and so glad to have everybody joining us live. Always happy to see you. And thank you to those that take the time to catch up with us in the archives. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. As always, before we dig into tonight's topic, we're going to go over the 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are: 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal. 1 planet, 1 race, 1 ancestry, 1 destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So, tonight's exciting topic is confronting our fears.
Oh, and there's so many different kinds.
That's a deep one. I mean, I think we should start with spiders. I think that's the biggest existential fear.
You know, isn't that the really interesting fears that we have? Some we have to say are just stupid. but, you know, we can laugh at them, but, you know, in our minds. Honestly, like a fear of spiders. I know people who were terrified. I know my mother would go absolutely ballistic at mice. Like, honestly, she'd lose her. There's no way we were keeping a pet rodent. That wasn't going to happen. But they're actually like those terrors.
Yeah.
You know, some things that people are truly terrified. And where does that come from? Maybe a past life?
Well,
I don't know.
I think that there's an argument to be said for a lot of those primal ones, a fear of heights, a fear of, you know, mice, a fear of spiders, of snakes, what have you, come from the primal survival instinct, the fact that things like that, you know, that could potentially cause harm, existed along our, you know, evolution. So it would be logical to have a certain sense of fear of some of these things, and I think that some people take it to an extreme on the bell curve. I remember.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I remember when I was younger, especially all the way up until my late teens, early 20s, I was terrified of spiders. Mm. You know, not so much that, you know, I wouldn't be afraid to kill it. I would just kill it with purpose and speed. But, you know, they unnerved me. And we have these, I don't know if they're wolf spiders or if they're huntsman spiders, but they're big spiders in Florida here. And, I remember they used to be all over. They'd get in the house and they're hunters. That's what they call them, wolf spiders, because they go out and they hunt for their food. And so they, you know, will often come across if you live out in the right areas. So I'd see them in the bedroom and stuff. I remember one night, it was like 3 a.m. I happened to see one going across the lampshade, cast a shadow. It was like the movie Arachnophobia. That was the whole thing. Chased that thing underneath it went under my box spring, so I took out the metal frame and just dropped the box screen directly on the ground, so hopefully it couldn't get out. Then I was too tired, I had to go to sleep.
You know, and that's what I mean. We have these, And we do, I hope everybody can understand what I'm saying here, have some humor about ourselves that we have these really ridiculous kinds of fears. And because there's no logic.
Well, there's not. Wolf spiders can't hurt you.
But, well, you know, some can. But well, I think there's a difference between us learning how to be cautious of things like poisonous spiders and poisonous snakes. And
to be fair, it's venomous.
So, I mean, I remember visiting my daughter and son-in-law in, you know, Sedona many years ago, and they had to always keep shoes up off the floor, and if you did, check your shoes, because there could be a scorpion. Yeah. Sure enough, one day there was a scorpion in my shoe, because they say, check your shoes, you know, so, yeah, okay, I tip my shoes over, yeah, how does it get in there? We don't know, so.
Oh, it crawls in like a little dark space. Funny story. I put my work shoes on to go to work way back in the day. And as I'm walking out, I feel like a crunch as I'm, you know, walking along. And I'm like, ah, there's a stone or something in my shoe. So when I get to work, I take my shoe off and a big old wolf spider comes tumbling, you know, dead.
Oh, no.
Comes tumbling out of my shoe.
Oh, no.
Hey, good times.
Those are, well, you know, life fears. Everybody's got some kind of fear. And if we can challenge ourselves to confront that and see it more.
Well, you know how I got over being afraid of spiders? I learned everything I could about them, you know?
Exactly.
I acclimated to being around one. You know, the other day, like, oh, maybe not that long ago, maybe a month or so ago, there was one crawling on the wall in the kitchen. It was late, and I was tired. I knew it would eventually find its way out, and I was like, just don't crawl on me, and I went to bed.
You know, so, I did a terrible thing for my... Sorry, Michael, did I interrupt you?
Oh, no, I was just... trailing off. Go ahead.
Just a few years ago, I went over to my kids and my grandkids, and they said, oh, you know, Mormor, they call me, that's mother's mother in Norwegian, and they say, Mormor, look over there, there's a spider. And I said, oh my God, and I went over and I killed it, and everybody was aghast because they were actually, as a science project to the family, have been watching the spider do its webs and lay its eggs, and it was this whole big science project, and I just killed their science project, and I went, oh, and I felt bad about that.
Well, it's understandable, but you kind of realize that they don't particularly act with malice per se, right? And learning that, they're not the insta-death danger that I perceived them to be from the movie Arachnophobia, which you may or may not have guessed it had an impact. But, it's even a black widow, untreated for an average adult, is a 95% survival rate, untreated. Yeah. So, I mean, it's very unlikely. And the venomous species are, you know, thankfully, they're a little bit rarer. They're out there, especially in Florida. But, you know, you don't really see them all the time unless you don't clean out your shed.
Or you can be like Dr. Jerry in the chat who says, for every spider or creature you kill, 14 of its brothers and sister will come to take its place.
That's why you got the flamethrower.
Oh, that's funny. So there's those kinds of fears, you know, and I think everybody
those are the easy ones.
Yeah, those are the easy ones, and of course, right, you know, run the gamut of right to a terror of death or a terror of illness or, you know, a terrors of other things. So, but in somewhere in the middle, and that's where I really want to go today, somewhere in the middle about how we find out things about ourselves we didn't know. Like, if you're afraid of confrontation, you don't like confront. You say, "Oh, I don't like confrontation." Well, it just means to say you're afraid of confrontation. and so, what is it that you're afraid of? And those little things that you can, work on in yourself, like challenging yourself to ask the questions, ask why am I doing this, and you know, I always say, what do I hope to achieve by this? You know, or what is happening because I'm absent from my part of my discussion in this? And so there's those kinds of things in life. And something silly. Here's a silly thing. You know, my second daughter is now designing from her artwork, putting into fabric. She's now designing her own jackets. And she said, would you make me my prototypes? Oh, sure, honey, anything for you. Oh, my God, I was having anxiety, Michael. Mm. It's the one thing. I've been sewing since I was 11. I have avoided doing any of those things because being dyslexic, how do you sew in the lining, in the cuffs, in the this, you know, bomber jackets with the elastic, this, elastic. And I had big anxieties. And I had to calm down. Oh, you know, she brought me the fabric. I'm all jolly, pretending everything is okay. Inside, I'm having anxiety attacks because my brain doesn't work this way. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know what? There's YouTube. Mm-hmm. So I think I watched that video 40 times, backing up, forward, backing up, forward. And even then I'd go to do it, and I say, oh, I don't know if this is going to work, because my brain couldn't wrap around it. I am elated to say I've just made her two prototypes, two samples. And the second one I did screw up. I had to rip part of it out and start over. But that's okay, because I got a little cocky with myself. Oh, I know how to do this. But challenging myself to a fear, because the things I have avoided because I think I'm just not good at that. See? And really mm-hmm. what it boiled down to is not, when we just reject something because we think we can't, or... And I got to tell you, even when I signed on to IMHS a good number of years ago, I might add, going back to school, how old was I? 55, I think, 54, 55. And I thought, how does my brain work? Can I actually do this online? And learning online courses, the software, the stuff, how do I learn this? And I just buckled down because I had a fear. I'm not good with computers. My brain isn't wired that way. But, okay, wait a minute. Take a breath and go step by step by step. And thankfully, you know, Dr. Kelly, you know, Douglas Kelly was very patient. And, go here, go there. And I could do that. Well, writing courses, I have never written courses. I've written a lot of things in my life, but not courses. How do I do that? Mm-hmm. And then you want me to actually upload them by myself? You know? And those kinds of things in us that prevent us from doing more greater. And that's kind of that confronting fears, confronting our conditioned thoughts about mm-hmm. ourselves. Because we all have these limitations we're not even aware of.
Oh, absolutely. Limitations of belief, right?
Absolutely.
You know, that is, it's like people that don't know that they don't know almost have a superpower. Because they don't know that they don't know. They have such confidence. And even though they might be wrong like 90, 95% of the time, you know, they're just going to go along and then it might hit. But, I think that people that are a bit more aware, people that are a bit more conscientious are susceptible to imposter syndrome, which I think is kind of what you were referring to a bit. The idea that, I know I've had it, that, you know, you open up and reveal what's on the inside, you know, how many hamsters are spinning on the wheels. Mm. Like, people might find out you're not as smart or as this or as that as people thought you were. So, you know, that's, I think, a real existential fear. And it I think is. A lot of those types of fears are based on our social nature. Everybody's heard the adage that more people are afraid of public speaking than death.
Oh.
Which I think you put them to the test. I think they're going to get over their fear of public, speaking. But,
I have a friend of mine who is absolutely terrified of getting up in front of a group. Mm-hmm. And we talked about it, and I've asked her why. And she said, I can sit down in a small group making presentation, but you want me to stand up and talk? No, I won't do it. And look, do we care if she does that or not? Not really. Mm-hmm. But it again, it's something, but she acknowledges it in herself, and she just draws that wall up. So, you know, Dr. Kevin has asked a really good question in the chat. What steps would you recommend to deal with the fear of confrontation? It's something that seems to hold him back, and then he just loses it. Like, that is a really good question. Mm-hmm. I think that, first of all, I want to go back to what Dr. Kelly says about preference versus principle. And I wished I had learned that way early on in my life, because discerning that one thing, it makes it a lot easier to have a conversation with anybody. So the fear of confrontation is really about, is this something that we're going to discuss preferences and set boundaries for ourselves because it's something we prefer? Then that's, I think, one type of conversation. The other is when you're challenged with something that's a principle, then how do you present your side of it without kind of losing your gourd, you know? And kind of where do you go? And I think I've always been a little bit confrontational myself, my upbringing, that warrior nature, but I have been very afraid of confrontation when it comes to people who are smarter, better, more authority, power, you know, and that it's because I'm afraid I can't hold my own, right? Mm-hmm. That I'm not smart enough to enter into this conversation. And I didn't realize at some point that I could say, I don't know about that, you know. But I think a lot of it has to do with confidence and articulating what it is that you want to say and knowing that it's okay to pause to think about something and asking yourself, what do I hope to achieve by this? And what's the best kind of outcome if I say this or do this? And instead of getting frustrated. And I'm a firm believer in any kind of a conversation, it doesn't have to always be in the now.
Mm-hmm.
If it's something that you're in a situation where would require you in your mind to be confrontational, say, I really need time to think about this. Can we come back and discuss it like in 10 minutes or an hour or even tomorrow? So you can formulate your thoughts, formulate and calm your emotion.
That's
to
a
it.
Big one.
And just say, no, okay, I need to take a breath, calm my emotion and be able to articulate what it is I want to get across.
And
if you're afraid of authority, sorry, Michael, then you have to ask yourself, what can they do to me? You know, it's like, what's somebody going to do to me? When am I old enough to hold my own?
Yeah.
You know, so you have to ask yourself some of those questions. So, Kevin, I mean, I think there are probably a million steps in between that you want to look at it. But it's about if you know how you process, and I mean by process information, if you're not really good on your feet and you do need that extra minute, then tell somebody, I can't have this conversation right now. I really need to think about what we've just talked about or what you've just said. Can you give me 10 minutes, you know, and or give me a little bit of time to process this so that you can revisit it. Generally, not always, I'm pretty good on my feet. But there have been times when I got ahead of myself, and that was just not a good conversation to have. Because when you're frustrated, you're angry, having anxiety, that's not a good time to have a healthy conversation.
No.
Whether it's with a boss, a loved one, kids, it doesn't matter. So it can't apply. Just say, we'll talk about this later because I need to process. But always tell somebody why you need to talk about it later. If you just say, can we talk about it later, it just looks like you're deferring and buying time and, you know, avoiding. But you say, I really just need to process.
Well, I think that comes down to the key, communication skills play. You know, it's a key role that it plays in managing conflict. I think you're absolutely right. You know, sometimes the best thing is to step away and come back to it, conversation. And a lot of people will take that as a offensive thing because they can't control you in that moment. But there's a balance, right? You know, you made a great point where you pointed out that sometimes, you know, taken to an extreme, it's avoidance, and that is a behavioral tactic by some. But I think also, the emotion of the moment, you just can't think rationally. It's just it is a tough thing to do when you
yeah.
are filled with, you know, this powerful emotion. It's hard to think clearly, and you don't want to say something that you wouldn't agree with an hour from now, right? That you're going to look back on and say, that wasn't right. That was, you know, a mistake or something along those lines.
And well, yeah, I agree. Dr. Mike has said, I think that most folks approach fear like ducking on water. On the surface, everything's calm. However, underneath, the legs are going 90 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And that's true. And I think even if you're afraid of confrontation, that still applies, because you can look on the outside like you're okay, but inside you're in a state of shock and going into panic, you know. And so I think all of those things, it's just learning about yourself. I have been guilty of this, Michael. I can go through my day. I'm fine. I go to bed and I play conversations in my head and say, what? I could have said this. I should have said that. What did I say again? You know, and replaying things in my head.
You know, that's so funny. I used to do that all the time. I still do it. But, you know, when you get to be my age, you know, things matter less and less. So, you know. But
well, and that's true. Eventually, it's and that's not to say we don't replay those things. And
well,
I think it's actually a good thing, because it shows conscience.
Yeah.
And it shows self, kind of a self-awareness in a
yeah,
way.
Yeah, and, you know, it's reflecting to improve. And you need to reflect. You need to look at what's being done to see what you might want to change. So people that have a self-awareness, you know, that have good communication skills, they're going to excel in these kind of social dynamics, you know, being able to get up in front of people and speak, to be able to have to address something assertively, to be able to manage confrontation, you know, different things like this. It is an essential skill, and I think it's one of the more important ones that is taught here. I just, like, you know, thinking about, for me, I think also I, like you, might err on the side of confrontation versus not confrontation. I like to argue. I like to have that classical debate, a back and forth. I like to be challenged. I love to have somebody with opposing viewpoints to talk with. I once said, like, one of my personal versions of hell would be a place where everybody agrees with me on everything. So I have had to learn how to do that in the proper time and place, and how to not be, you know, that guy.
Yeah. And I think that's different to be I know someone who I had to tell him, I said, you're very antagonistic. He said, what? I'm just trying to provoke discussion.
Well, fine line.
But it seems so antagonistic. Like, it doesn't matter what's being said. You have, you know, the way the opposite thing and challenging people. And yeah, isn't it fun? And I'm not referring to you, Michael. I really did know somebody like that. And I said, well, it's not fun for anybody else.
Yeah, so, I know. Well, and here's the thing, though. You know, you will meet people that also like that. And, you know, you can have some good, fun conversations. You know, some of my closest friends have been people that didn't think like me exactly when it came to, you know, some different philosophical things about life. I mean, there's a line, right? You know, you don't want to look forward to debate with the Nazis or anything like that, right? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, being challenged and having to, you know, spar with ideas and finding somebody that's also like that can be a rare treat.
Well, I always found if somebody's talking like that all the time, they're just entertaining themselves, so I don't bother. So, you know, and I think it's different from having a sincere conversation versus.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a total difference between liking, you know, a good classical argument, not angry, but just a back and forth, and somebody who just wants to provoke, I think. And that's the thing. Yeah. Somebody who wants to provoke an emotional response versus somebody who wants to, you know, have an exchange of ideas and kind of tackle an issue and things like that. And I think the same person can do both, depending on their mood.
Yeah, I agree. I think also, if I can move on a little bit too, people who have a fear of authority, let's say it's your boss and somebody who's a bit of a bully, what do you do with that? You know, how do you deal with it? Well, first of all, you consider you got a job to do. And it's either a situation that you can manage because you have a job to do, or hit something where somebody's causing you pain, you know, and then you have to maybe have a talk with them, or, you know, see how you can have a talk with them. Some people you can't talk with at all. And you go say, well, maybe this isn't a good situation for me. It's not a great fit.
Yeah, I mean, sustainability is a heck of a thing.
Yeah.
I think in the vein of tonight's discussion, exactly what you were talking about a moment ago, and I think it was a great point that I think fear can keep us trapped in a bad place that's not sustainable for our emotional or physical well-being.
Yeah. I
agree. You know, I think, you know, really tackling these kind of the sources of that fear, right? Why are we afraid of getting up in front of people? We're afraid of the judgment of society, of the our place in the social order, right? Some of it's imposter syndrome and things like that. You know, and I'm saying this in somewhat like half tongue in cheek, the next bit, because I just want to throw a disclaimer in there. But I've always joked about the benefits of the brighter side of nihilism, where, you know, if you think about nihilism, you're like, well, nothing really matters. Nothing we do will ever matter. Well, then just do what you think is right. Do what's best. You know, I've had those debates with somebody who will take, you know, everything to the nth degree. You know, what makes something good, good? You know, why is not hurting something good? What defines that? Well, fine. If nothing matters, then I think hurting people is bad. So I'm going to push that. You know, or I think, you know, I love, you know, being getting up in front of people. I always get a little anxious, but then I get really into the message, the idea, maybe a discussion or something like that. So live for that. You know, if nothing really matters, then don't worry about all the other stuff. Focus on what brings you happiness and meaning and can propel you forward. You know, just my two cents.
Well, I had to learn when it comes to certain things, it's not about me. It is about the delivery and the work. Mm-hmm. So it's not about me. But it took me a long time to figure that out. You know, I think then there are other fears. Let's go to the extreme, Michael, where certain things can absolutely paralyze us. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go here. It's the fear of mortality, the mm-hmm. fear of getting old, and the fear of death. And I got to tell you, getting old's not fun. There's a lot of fun things about it because I care less about a lot of stuff. And it's very freeing in a lot of ways. But I'm trying to buy a new pair of glasses these days, and went with my daughter yesterday and we were trying some on. She showed me pictures of me and I went, oh man, I'm getting old. And it's that reality of the things that, you know, your bones creak and all these other little things start happening, and you know you're getting older. I look at other people and like really old people. Oh, you know, those really old people.
Yeah.
And I think, oh, I don't want to be those old people. And I don't want to end up in a care home. And I don't want to end up places. But at what point do you say, well, what's the alternative? What are you going to do about
right.
it?
Right.
And,
you know,
and so it's, I know what I'll do about it, but I can't tell other people what they'll do about it. And it's this kind of an acceptance to mortality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we live in a society and in a culture where youth is everything. You know, buy the right creams, do the right things, beauty this, and, you know, all this caca that makes us kind of crazy. So you get people get Botox and surgeries and everything to stay young, avoiding the inevitable. And I so appreciate people who, you know, look, you want to color your hair, I don't care. But when you start, you know, I don't know, patchworking your face and doing all kinds of stuff, I say, ooh.
I tend to agree with you. I think we've all seen a case where, you know, like, look great the way you were. But at the same time, you know, it's not for us to decide what's right for somebody and how they're going to feel better. But I get what you're saying, and I honestly agree with it. I will say that one thing that, I don't know, maybe it's just styles or something, but do you think, you know, like it's been commonly said that like millennials, Gen Z and everything are aging slower, that when our parents and grandparents were our age, they just looked older.
Well, these people are pickled. Everybody's pickled. I mean, what can I say?
Well, I think that there's a few things. I think that some of it's just you're used to seeing that kind of hairstyle or that kind of dress in older pictures, so it just gives that vibe to it. I also think there's just some other things. You know, our health is better than it ever has been, aside from a few things, and our longevity is there, et cetera, et cetera. But I think that, I think there is an unhealthy obsession with youth.
I think we have to remember that as our parents or grandparents seem to age more, the conditions were, the lifestyle was,
right.
Weather conditions, you know.
A lot more time in the elements or in harsh conditions.
Absolutely. So we have to consider that. Now, of course, we have all these other things and we're not as exposed. We don't honestly work as physically as hard. And I mean laboring through the day just to, you know, eat, supper kind of thing. So, I mean, I think that all changes us. But I think when we become obsessed with these things, it grows a fear of getting old, and it grows a fear of death. And I can't tell you the numbers of people I know who are terrified of dying. And, of course, to me, that's a past life flashback. That's a past life. That's my interpretation of it. It's because in the cycles of life, when we accept it, you know, that is. But we're also taught to avoid death. You know, we're extending life to avoid death. And we don't want our parents to die. We want to do everything to extend their life. And, you know, it goes on and on and on. So it can be quite paralyzing and shifting our view of reality. And, you know, somebody told me the other day, you're not old. And I said, what defines old? I mean, when, I don't know about the U.S., but in Canada, when they first brought in old age security, it was when people didn't live an average of 60 years.
Right.
And so the OAS started at age 65. So now it's, nobody can live on that pension stuff because we live an average of 85 years.
Right.
And it's like, well, you know, between medicine and we're one big pharmaceutical experiment. Wendy says age is a state of mind. Yeah, I tell that to my bones.
Well, it kind of is. I mean, I think one of the reasons that millennials and like perceive themselves as a younger vibe is because we typically act more childish. You know, me with my lightsaber, things like that. We typically act more childish than prior generations.
Well, but you can be older and have a skip to your step.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
I'm saying a youthful attitude. But, you know, just a youthful attitude and being vibrant isn't going to change how your body ages if you're 80 or 90.
This is true. But everything has an effect. I would say it's remiss that we didn't point out that loneliness is the most physically damaging thing you can do to your body.
It is.
It's worse than smoking. It's worse than any number of things. So I'd say, you know, being able to maintain healthy social circles is paramount. I also wanted to point this out, and I know we're running out of time, is that I think you can take your fear of death and turn it into a strength, by which I mean you realize that you have a finite amount of time on this planet. Do you really want to waste some of it worrying about this? You know what I mean? You want to waste some of your finite time in this existence, at least in this phase, dealing with this. So you, time is a resource that you spend. So,
you know, it's been said many, many times by a great number of philosophers, if you knew that this was the only day you were going to have, you know, how would you live that day? And we all ought to be living in the present like that. And the older I get, the more I appreciate that. I wake up in the morning, I'm still here. And, of course, like Ricky Gervais, how do you say his name?
Gervais.
He would say, you know, oh, he wakes up in the morning and say, oh, I didn't die through the night. You know, he has other words for it. But I think that's kind of funny. Oh, I'm still here.
Well, so, humor is a wonderful coping mechanism.
It is. So, I mean, it's I think it's that kind of an attitude. But it's inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
And I think being dead is not the problem. It's a getting dead.
It's the transition. You know,
it's always the getting there.
This is the truth.
Kind of
you know, this is the truth. But, you know, maybe Maybe because you only have a certain amount of time before you reach that ultimate existential end and you have to deal with the complete unknown of moving to the other side of existence. Maybe then getting in front of some folks and talking isn't that big a deal.
Exactly. But, you know, I actually had somebody tell me the other day, well, not long ago. Oh, I lose time. The other day could be 3 years ago. you know, oh, my sister-in-law, you know, she just dropped dead of a heart attack. And I said, wow, that's how to do it.
Yeah.
And they were mortified. And I said, well, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend you. I said, I just think that's the best way to go.
It makes me think of that that old joke. I know I heard from my grandfather first. I think it's a, you know, what they would call these days a dad joke extraordinaire. But it's you know, I want to die like my grandfather did, quietly in his sleep and not screaming in terror like the other people riding in his car.
There you go. I love that one. So, you know, confronting fear, people, in I think in a nutshell, is how we learn about ourselves, because we all have them. I know every year on my birthday, for many, many years, I say, let me confront this fear. And I would challenge myself in that year to say that, because I want to know myself more. And eventually I ran out of fears that I knew of, and I said, well, you know, if there's fears I don't know about, you know, bring them on. Whoa, that was a hell of a year, Michael. That was a ride.
Yeah. Did you do 2020? Was that your fault?
Yeah. Geez, you know, it's like crazy. So I think that there's a lot of things that we learn about ourselves through fear. And if it weren't through fear and pain, we wouldn't learn more and know more about love and joy and appreciation and gratitude. And, oh, Dr. Mike, bless your heart, he says, since you cannot control death, why worry about it?
Yeah. You know, and I know we're delaying cards here, but another thought comes to mind with Dr. Mike's mention here. My dad told me something that a baseball player said, and maybe somebody in chat knows who said it, this quote. Somebody, when asked in the press, asked this player, you know, why don't you ever seem like you worry about anything? And he says, well, to be honest, if there's something you can do about a situation, then why worry about it? You have something you can do and you can affect it. If you can't do anything about a situation, why worry about it? Because you can't change it anyway. So
it's true.
Always made, you know, always love that. I
except
can't remember
spiders.
Who said it.
Except spiders.
No, I'm fine with spiders. I just don't want a world of coconuts paramount.
Oh, but that's funny. Well, let's get on with some cards.
Tonight. Absolutely.
For
absolutely.
Those who are new or in the archives listening, Michael selects an Inner Oracle Self-Discovery card designed by Dr. Douglas Kelly. And I just throw in a tarot card after and see if there's a story to tell.
So, all right. And
I think we have Jerry first.
We do, I think. Actually, hold on. Uno momento. I think you are right, but I thought I saw somebody. Ah, yeah, I think Dr. Jerry. I wasn't keeping up on the chat. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
But Dr. Jerry, for you, I have number 9, empowerment.
Oh, I like that.
Let's see. Number 9, empowerment. Passed it. Almost there. Kept flipping on the page. Taking your power back is literally all-powerful and absolutely priceless. It alone is the solution in principle for virtually every problematic circumstance in your life, from a bad relationship to spiritual harassment. Retaining your power means to retain your wholeness. When you are whole, you are empowered. Empower others by doing no harm and doing right. Sharing the best of yourself is encouraging and uplifting to yourself and others. So, Dr. Jerry, hope that connects. Our thoughts are still with you. And you know, always wishing you the very best.
Yeah, you've been through quite a ride there, Jerry. And I pulled the 4 of clubs, which is the 4 of wands in the tarot. And to me, that's always about, you know, essentially some people would say it's the marriage card. I say it's more about the promise card, the obligations, the commitments that we make. So empowering yourself in redefining what your commitments are, your what you feel obligated to, what you feel, you know, just basically assessing, look, empowering yourself to say, I'm redefining my obligations. It's as simple as that. And for what you've been through, it kind of makes sense in a way that who you feel a loyalty to, who no longer you feel loyalty to, and just reconfiguring that. And, you know, with that is a huge relief It's like a, you know, big weight off of your shoulders. So I think you've reached another step. That's what I think, Jerry.
All right. I like it.
We have Ronaldo next, I think.
We do, and Ronaldo, for you, I have wild card number 4, unknowable. There are mysteries in the universe. Not all can be known or predicted. A focus of deliberate intent can reveal valuable unforeseen knowledge for what lay ahead. Remember, we only see what we know and believe. The universe is unfolding in ways that are unknowable to your existing ways of thinking. Change your mind and you change your world. Change your mind and what was once unknowable may now be knowable. Listen to the subtle leadings and incitations of your higher self. What was once unknowable is now knowable. Remain flexible and open to change.
Oh, this is truly a follow your intuition, Ronaldo. And it's good to see you here again tonight. I got the King of Hearts for you. So that King of Cups is all about living from the heart, living from a place of goodness, conscience, gratitude, kindness. So it's like, but also very intuitive. So that unknowable, sometimes we feel like we're just coasting, but there is something going on, even if it feels quiet and that you don't necessarily feel like you're contributing or that anything's going on. There is something going on, and it's in the undercurrent. You just have to ride that out, follow your intuition, because it's taking you exactly where you need to be at the right place at the right time. So I would say in this case, just go with the flow.
Good advice. All right, I think we have Edward. Dr. Edward next.
Yeah.
For you, Dr. Edward, I have number 7, self-mastery. Don't think we've pulled this one in a little while. To know who you are and why you are who you are is self-actualization. To choose and walk your own path is self-determination, giving inner peace. Not allowing others to dictate your behavior is self-control. Remain true to your convictions. This is self-mastery towards the path of self-completeness.
You have the 5 of Pentacles, which in regular cards is the 5 of Diamonds. Oh, sometimes you got to walk away from people who no longer resonate. So that self-mastery is, as much as you may have felt something for people in the past, you still do, but they don't resonate so much with you in the same way anymore. So you have kind of less to do with them. It doesn't mean total avoidance or cutting them out of your life. It just means that less dialogue, less participation. 'Cause part of self-mastery is knowing when you want to speak, when you don't want to speak, and where you want to invest your energy. And see, the 5 of Diamonds is, you know, you following people who are walking away or them following you. And in this case with self-mastery, it's them following you. But you're just going to keep persevering and making this decision. So, I think I'm not going to invest that time and energy in people like I was before. You know, it's just I'm going to focus on other things. So I think that's a great card to have. So,
all right.
I hope that resonates with you.
All right.
Kevin, is that what I have next?
I do as well. And Dr. Kevin, I have for you number 26, energy signature.
All right.
This card is a call to be aware of energy signatures, which is the vibe a person puts out or the energy of a situation. Energy signatures are changed by increased awareness resulting from gaining more knowledge and wisdom of self. Review the present energy signature that you may be sending, or that of a situation, individual, or relationship. Keep what is healthy, remove what is unhealthy. Remember, you cannot change others, you can only change yourself and your own energy signature.
I got the 9 of Hearts for you. I like that. In a word, it's about abundance. Replenishment, abundance. And I think that's great. Energy signatures, like as you're changing, Kevin, you're going to notice that things around you begin to change. So, and look, it's not just about, oh, I think I'll just you know, project for a lot of money and it flows into your being. It's about how you're interacting with others, what you're putting out in that positive vibe, and who is attracted to that positive vibe. And so it's, oh, starting to see when I have this kind of an energy signature or this kind of, you know, an attitude or communicate in this way, there's a different response. So it starts to become clearer. And I think you've done what this is saying to me, Kevin, is you've done a huge growth spurt and something's really clicking for you. So I say, keep going. That's great.
All right. I love it. And thank you for the feedback we've gotten in chat, too. You know, awesome. Dr. Jerry pointed that out, and Dr. Edward, glad they connected. So let's see.
Jeff.
And for you, Jeff, I have number 3, be who you are, walk your own path. You are uniquely designed, one-of-a-kind, universal being, equally entitled to all good things the same as others. Drawing this card encourages you to be who you are and to walk your own path, not comparing yourself with others. Give yourself permission to accept who and what you are. Move forward in the direction you need to take that best fulfills yourself.
Ooh, Jeff. First of all, I'd like everybody to hear this. I'm going to congratulate Jeff and Shauna. I've been in touch with Jeff, and he's been messaging me. They just bought a house together. The deal was accepted. They move at the end of April, which is pretty fast. So congratulations on that huge step. It's great for you. So be you, walk your own path, and I got the star, Jeff. So I want to say this is a really good time for you. You know, the star is always about water, going with the flow, making, you know, can be hokey about it, say making wishes. But you're now really walking your own path here. And keep going forward, as nerve-wracking as it can be, because these aren't, you know, can always get a little bit, you know, ooh, are we doing the right thing? Are we doing whatever? But this is saying to me, and I felt this all along for you and Shauna, this is a great time for you, and this is the right time for you. Everything coming together, and you're going to go and enjoy your new home and start building your life in a new way. So I'm really happy for you. This is a really positive affirmation.
I love it.
Yeah.
All right. We have Dr. Zora next, and I have for you number 8, balance and order. With this card, balance and order in life or in a specific area is present or it needs to be. If experiencing adversity, look for what is out of its proper order. Adversity is a state of disorder, and once order is restored, adversity fades. Moreover, self-completeness and success will ensue once order and balance are restored to the life leadership paragon areas of self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will.
You know, Zoran, I got the 3 of spades, which means to me that there could be some kind of disappointment. And I thought, okay, I got to pull another one. And I got a 7 of spades. So I'm going to go with this here. Balance and order. If you've been disappointed, something that is maybe not quite gone your way, it actually turns out better than you expect. And that's what, to me, what that 7 of swords is, 7 of spades. It's like you're making a way, and it could be in the reverse, it's somebody else making a way with your stuff, but that's not what I'm seeing here. Balance and order is restored, or kind of even in ways you don't expect. And very often, Michael, we can all kind of relate to this when you think something really crappy has happened, but it really turns out for the best, you know? And so I'm seeing that here for you, Zoran. It's if you've been disappointed in someone or something, just know that the outcome is really good in other ways. I think we all go through a grieving of things not going our way or, you know, hitting us blindsided and we didn't expect that or I didn't see that in somebody or, you know, something in our lives. So I think that in some way you might be clearing house and even energetically. And I always say that's a good thing even though we don't like it when it's happening because, you know, we don't feel like we're in control or know what's going on. But you're on the right track, Zoran, so hang in there. That's what I want to say.
Good message.
I think we have Audra next.
Actually, I think we skipped Wendy. And Wendy, I'm pretty sure I saw your name up there and then Audra after, so I apologize if I got that word wrong. But Wendy, card keeper herself, thank you for tracking. We've seen a couple of matches tonight, if I'm not mistaken. For you, I have wild card number 5, Don't Hate. A low-energy signature refuses to learn more in order to better accept and understand others. Hate grows in this low frequency. The result is fear, demonstrated as the need to criticize and control others. This is how wars begin, whether it's in relationships, within families, or between countries. Understanding does not mean one has to agree. It means rising above the low frequency to do no harm, do right to self and others.
Well, with the 5 of clubs and the 5 of wands, I think it's a retrospect kind of thing here, where something of the past, where you're now in a resolve of it. You know, and the reason I'm saying that is don't hate it. Sometimes it's even little residual things we hold from the past, or a bad feeling, a negative, or a disappointment in some way. But having risen, you know, when we rise up to it, and it's we, you know, I guess in a way, accept the change and can see the past in a different way. And look, it may not be a big thing, but it could just be even a small thing. And sometimes it's little tiny small things that we trip over and we're not even aware of. And so that's what I see here. So it's maybe a realization about something, and you can let that go.
So, I like how you said that.
Yeah.
Very nice.
All right. Now we have Audra.
Now I believe we have Audra.
All right.
So Audra, I have for you number 15, belief system and knowledge base. We each operate life from an existing belief system, and sometimes the solution or direction lies outside of our belief system. Equally, when knowledge is expanded, a belief system calls for revision. Consider that opening the mind for more information and knowledge may be required, subsequently adjusting a belief system. Know that the knowledge you seek is within.
Two of clubs, the 2 of wands, is looking into the future, Audra. You know what comes to mind is that you're capable of doing more than you know. And thinking, you know, we only dream within the reality that we know. It's like we only, with that frame of reference. And then we may encounter a situation where we're challenged to say, I never saw myself doing that before. Or I couldn't imagine myself doing that before. And it's being able to see the future in a new way. And it just opens up a reality that you hadn't anticipated. So I see this as a really good learning curve, Audra, of something that's coming, because you're seeing yourself in a new way in the future. So but acknowledge your beliefs, acknowledge where you've come from, to know better how you're opening your mind to where you're going. And I even feel within this next week, I'm stepping out on a limb, Michael, that limb. I'm going to go 4 or 5 days even. There's something really good happening. You have to believe in yourself. Keep believing in yourself, Audra. There you go.
I like it. I always like it. It's always a good message. I do love it. All right, and Dr. Zach, I think, is our last card of the evening. And Dr. Zach, for old time's sake, I did pull 3rd from the left, so I hope this connects. Number 17, reinvention. Nothing is more powerful or transformative than self-reinvention, resulting in a personal identity foundation shift. Far-reaching and profound, such a personal reinvention shifts the foundation of your self-concept from external to internal, which in turn is vital to your future success and happiness. Re-examine your core values, ensuring they're healthy. Answer the questions, what do I call a good day? And what else in my life should be reinvented?
Okay, so you did 3 from the left. I did 3 from the left.
All right.
So, Zach, you got the hermit. So that reinvention and the hermit, you know what that means, but I'll tell you my take on it, is that looking deep within you, in yourself, and finding those other things that you didn't know existed, seeing something from a completely different point of view and say, oh, I'm reinventing myself, or I'm reinventing life in a way I hadn't thought of before. So that hermit goes way deep inside, and introspection, inner thought, inner revelations, realizations. So there is something shifting in you, Zach. And I like it. It's this, and I want to say a sense of peace, making peace with something. I can't put my finger on it, and I'm not going to invest a lot of time right now, but it helps with the reinvention. So that's very exciting. But seeing, okay, everybody listen up, seeing Dr. Zach's name, Mr. Astrologer himself, reminded me of something. Come Monday, we have a major eclipse happening. Everybody pay attention. When I had lunch with my daughters today, my oldest daughter had taken a look at where the planets are on Monday and what that looks like. And it's a huge bucket, a high up, just about everything in Pisces and Aries. It's a huge power shift, a huge energetic shift, little wishy-washy stuff. I really believe that as of, you know, Monday through this eclipse, you know, we're in for huge changes this year. And I believe this. I've been waiting for this eclipse since 1996, and maybe I can explain that to you next week and why this is such a powerful year, 2024. When a medicine man told me 2024, I'll get to it another time. But I plan a ceremony on Monday, and for us in Pacific time, it has to be at 11 a.m. because that's when the eclipse, the timing of it happens here. But just know that big power shifts are coming. So just, you know, pay attention to it. What's really required is good energy, putting out really good vibe. No fear vibes are allowed. No worry vibes are allowed. And just, you know, putting it out there, really good positive energy for the world, and being able to tune into, you know, the universe, essentially. And, you know, however you see the world, whether it's spirits or aliens or all of the above, or just in yourself and your collective, you know, it's that belief of betterment. Now, I think in my prediction that shift is going to take another 2 years, but it begins somewhere. I think it's already in the process. It's kind of a peak. Now, yes, we went through a solar eclipse a few years back. Now, it went, so if you envision a map over North America, it went from the southeast and up over across to the west. This one is crisscrossing the other way from the southeast up over to the northwest. So it's kind of like completion of an X kind of over North America. Of course, it affects differently in other parts of the planet, but I'm just saying it's kind of a completion of something since 2017 and how we're now into a new shift of energy. So positive energy. I see people making comments in the chat. Wendy says her son and girlfriend are flying to Texas on Monday for the eclipse, flying back that evening. Audrey says a former co-worker requested the day off. She wouldn't say, but we all knew why. She fully believes we'll be raptured during the eclipse.
Well, you know, fingers crossed.
Well, we're not going to be raptured. It's an energy shift. And look, it's like anything else. We're always in this state of cycles and flux. And this is,
it's not to be,
as much as people want to see the dark side, this is the good side.
Well, yeah, so I mean,
sometimes crap has to happen for the good stuff to take over.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And I think, we're in a constant state of flux, like you just said. Change is always happening. So this is another phase shift.
Yeah, and Dr. Zach has said that, you know, some schools in Ohio are closed. I read that. They've been preparing that for 2 years. This is the day of the new sun that NASA has had reported for 5 years. A medicine man told me, and again, an old grandfather told me, you know, about certain songs to sing and raise the pipes, you know, at the day of the new sun. I didn't even know about this eclipse. It's called the day of the new sun till about 3 years ago. And it's like, I'm really glad to still be here to be a part of it. So it's a very important thing. My daughter said, well, but the kids aren't home from school. You want me to pull them out? And I said, no, then it'll just be us. But it has to be at 11. So I thought we could do it after school. No, it has to be at 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, we don't get to determine it.
So.
But, well, it's going to be interesting. And, you know, no matter what change comes, we're always going to be there to meet it. And a lot of times it's good change.
Yeah,
and if it's a little bit of a rough patch that comes along with it, well, then we are going to rise to meet that.
Yes,
we are. We're going to make sure we bring that good energy into the change and that we make the change what we want it to be.
I agree.
But,
I'm with you on that, Michael. You've got to be a part of, just stand your ground to be a part of the good side.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. You know?
So
yeah. Fight for what you believe in, fight for that good, and stand your ground. I think that's a good idea to go out on tonight.
It is. Again, I know we've gone a little bit over time tonight, but I'm really glad to have been here having this conversation. I want to thank Dr. Jeff really quickly. He reminded me, and I had seen it before, but I'm so glad he reminded me. We're going to talk about how science has discovered a new thing about gravity and time. We're going to entertain that idea next week. And I sent Michael an article. We're going to do a little reading up. We are certainly not scientists. But we're going to talk about that because it's in this whole realm of quantum physics. Ooh, I love that.
I can't wait. It's going to be a good talk. I'm looking forward to it. And looking forward to seeing everybody next week. So it has been a good discussion. Went a little long, but I always have fun with that.
Yeah.
And just thank you, everybody, for your contributions, for taking the time to catch up with us. And, it is that time of the night, so we're looking forward to seeing you next week. And before I sign off, any last thoughts, Dr. Vicki?
Don't let them push you around out there, people.
Ah, what a good line to go out on. Well, until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.